Well, I got to officiate a wedding on New Year's Eve. Right here in our sanctuary, it was lovely. Kelsey and Brian worship with us virtually from New Mexico, and their wedding was going to be here in Denver because of family roots, and so we got to do the wedding and celebrate. It was such a neat and special thing. It was different than they planned, right? It was a very scaled-back guest list, about as many people as we have in the room right now. They had to cancel the reception, and I'll say they were very selfless in prioritizing the health of their family and friends instead of just thinking about the party that they wanted to have. And I always meet with couples and work with them. This time it was, of course, virtually, but I love to get to know them and talk about life and marriage and these things. And as I was preparing for the ceremony with them, I had a conversation with them that I have with like every couple. And remember, I tell them, I look at them, I say, this is so important. What we're doing and the conversations we're having, they're not about your wedding. It's actually all about your marriage. You see, your wedding is a day, but your marriage is every day. Because if all you're looking forward to is the wedding, you're setting yourself up for disappointment at the expense of all the days to come. And as I was having this conversation with them again as we moved towards this time, I realized how many parallels there are in that conversation to Christmas. We can get so focused on one day, right? It's all about that one day and the things and that we forget the everyday of what Christmas is all about. That it isn't simply about one moment, but it's about all the moments that come after and how that one moment changes us for all that will be after. It's easy to get focused on one day, right? I mean, Christmas is quite the moment. And so there is all the preparation and the things that we do. And we do want it to be perfect. And we want it to be wonderful. I mean, really, when you think about the Christmas message itself, right? It's this life-changing, world-changing, good tidings of great joy for all people. Of course, we look forward to it. And we want to celebrate it for all that it is. I mean, really, if you step back, 9 days ago, we celebrated the arrival of God's greatest gift. Just 9 days ago, we were celebrating hope and peace and love and joy that weren't just ideas, but were embodied in the very birth of Jesus into our world. I mean, that's a lot to look forward to. That is a big celebration. What good tidings that is to receive. And I'll tell you, whatever your favorite part of Christmas is, right? Maybe it's the candles as we sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. Maybe it's opening presents with loved ones. Maybe it's that quiet moment by the Christmas tree when it's just you and the glow of the lights and no one else around. Maybe it's a favorite meal. Maybe it's a call with a loved one. Whatever your favorite part of Christmas is, the energy and the excitement and that special moment, they culminate in this arrival of Christmas, and it's this beautiful, special thing. We receive the good tidings. We celebrate the good news. And then, we're left to ask, what comes after the good news? Right? We got the good news. What's next? That awkward after space is not ours alone. Just look at the scriptures. Right? As we hear the Christmas story, especially told throughout Luke, the shepherds, they get the good news. They're the first to receive the good news. They leave the manger proclaiming how great everything was. Not only are they the first to receive the good news, they're also the first to head back to their fields to resume their daily grind. Like those sheep weren't waiting for them to have Christmas dinner. Straight back to it. Or that innkeeper who opened a typically unavailable space to a young couple in need. He sees them, he's like, okay, please, come in. I'll create space for you. Let this be a special moment. I can only imagine walking in the next day to find your guests have delivered a baby in your space. Talk about the cleanup. And then there's Mary and Joseph, right? Here they are. I mean, the arrival of a baby, a special, beautiful moment. We close the curtains on our Christmas story as Mary holds that newborn child. But unlike the no crying he makes carols we sing, Anyone who's been around a baby knows that that is wishful thinking. What we really find behind the curtain of the closed Christmas story is a woman who is labor-worn, a new mother trying to manage breastfeeding. She's not at home. She doesn't have a support network. And this child is not no crying he makes. You know baby Jesus is working out his lungs to find the full capacity of volume he can carry. Her eyes are like this. She's probably shaking a little bit, wondering, what on earth am I supposed to do? And then there's Joseph, who's probably over in the corner trying to figure out what on earth to do with the dirty diapers. I don't know. Are we packing them? Are we washing them? I don't know. And on top of all the usual stuff, right, the brand new parent thing, there is a jealous, murderous king who's after them. So they got that going as well. You know, this is the Christmas story. We often forget because none of that shows up in the nativity scene. It doesn't show up in the children's pageant. It doesn't show up in the readings that we do on Christmas Eve, right? We hear these beautiful highlight moments. And then. I'll tell you, and then the Christmas story is about God coming to be with us. The good news we receive at Christmas is God choosing to be completely human. So what comes next in the Christmas story is as human as it gets. The Christmas story is imperfect. The Christmas story is messy. Because being human is about being imperfect and life being messy. When we paint Christmas as some perfect moment, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment and missing all the things it can do for us every single day. Now, God tried to avoid this problem. God tried to avoid it. I don't know if I'm going to blame Hallmark for ruining God's efforts, but God tried to avoid this whole situation. God tried to make the arrival of Jesus as far from picturesque as possible. I mean, really, God chose a stable. A stable. And somehow we're like, oh, it's so beautiful. God's like, seriously? Animals. Feeding trough. Come on. God chose a young couple who had no clue what they were doing. They weren't married. They didn't have a support system. They were at the edge of society to begin with. And we're like, oh, Mary and Joseph. He's like, really? Them? God chose shepherds. God chose a backwater county of a nearly forgotten state. God wanted the good news of Christmas to be imperfect and messy. So that when our lives are that way, we would still be able to see the gift. The gift that God is with us. And I tell you, life was imperfect and messy this week. Life was more than that. Life was violent and traumatic and filled with grief. As I was preparing my sermon and sharing with Megan, my wife, some of the things I was going to include, she's like, wait, that was this week? The Christmas bells were still echoing off the foothills when our city once again confronted the horror of a mass shooting. 6 dead, 2 hospitalized, numerous sites across the city, scenes of violence. There was still wrapping paper piled underneath some of our Christmas trees. There were still Christmas dinner leftovers in the fridge. And I tell you, this isn't supposed to happen at Christmas. It's not supposed to happen at all. But it's not supposed to happen at Christmas. These circumstances of violence and terror and trauma and grief, these are the very circumstances that led to all those scriptures crying out for God to do something. All that longing for God to be present. All the stories that led to that very first Christmas. This is our messy and broken world. And standing in the middle of it, I am here to remind you, Christmas doesn't fix it all. But God is with us. You see, just as the cries of that baby in the manger announce God's presence to the world, God is with each of us as our tears fall in response to the brokenness we see around us. I think that image of Jesus not crying is a huge disservice. For just as Jesus cried in that little manger, so too God cries with us. The Christmas story reminds us God wanted the good news of Christmas to be imperfect and messy so that when our lives are imperfect and messy, we can still see the gift that God is with us. And life was imperfect and messy this week. We were driving to my parents' house on Thursday, and I happened to look north as we were driving along on 6th Avenue, and I saw what has become the all-too-familiar dark billows that can only be the smoke of a wildfire. Megan quickly grabbed her phone. I was like, what is that? She grabs her phone and starts reading the news updates, and I swear, I was like, no, read that again. You must have misread this. And she's like, I know how to read. And I'm like, no, you had to misread that. What do you mean the entire towns of Superior and Louisville are evacuating? That can't be. 110-mile-an-hour winds? No, that has to be wrong. Firestorms? People dropping everything and running as entire subdivisions are consumed? We knew so little in those first few hours. I mean, we knew it would be bad. But who watching from a distance could have known? Nearly 1,000 homes gone. 3 missing and presumed dead. Life has been turned upside down for our neighbors. It was all I could do to keep from weeping as I met with Mary and Larry, the couple we will be housing. And I heard him remind his wife when she said, oh, well, we could bring the... No, it's all gone. This isn't supposed to happen at Christmas. Meteorologically speaking, it shouldn't happen in December in Colorado. But ideologically, we should be surrounded with life, not destruction. I'm sure you share with me the heartbreak for those affected. I cannot fathom what they are living through right now. This shouldn't happen at Christmas. It's supposed to be hope and peace and love and joy, not trauma, grief, and despair. But this is our messy and broken world. And I stand in the midst of it to remind you, Christmas doesn't fix it all, but God is with us. Just as God arrived in a dirty, hay-filled animal nook where no one thought to look for the divine, God is with us in places and circumstances where we cannot yet see the divine through the flood of emotions and grief. The Christmas story reminds us God wanted the good news of Christmas to arrive in imperfect and messy circumstances so that when our lives are that way, we can still see the gift that God is with us. And so here we are. The good tidings of great joy arrived, but it's important for us to remember they have not come and gone. For the good tidings of great joy came to stay, because they came to be with us. Because Christmas is not about a single day. It's not about 12 days. Christmas is about God being with us each and every day in all of the messy, uncertain humanness of life. May we see it. May we remember it. And may we live it for others. Amen.